this is Angels broadcaster Trent Rush, and you're listening to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now here's your host, my guy, Taylor Blake Ward.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Warren. It's great to have you on this Thursday, February 27th, 2020. I thought that February ended tomorrow. I always forget about leap year. So February actually ends on Saturday. We got leap year, February 29th this year. We're going to have some fun. Tomorrow's show, you're going to have a different host just for the day. You're going to have Paul Francis Sullivan. We call him Sully. And Sully is the host of our national show, Locked On MLB. I got to go on Locked On MLB yesterday. Had a great time. But I think you're going to enjoy what Sully brings to the show just for tomorrow. I will be gone over the weekend, as I usually am, and Sully's going to take care of business for Friday, so we're going to have fun with that. We're going to have Bryce Patrick of Locked On Rangers come on in just a few minutes here to talk about the Rangers and the rest of the division. But before we get to him, we got to remind you to follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, you can download or subscribe to Locked On Angels via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcasting platform you're using to listen to today's show. Like we said, though, we have a great guest coming your way at Locked On Angels. Joining us now from Locked On Rangers is Bryce Patrick. Bryce, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing. I love spring training. I'm one of those people that actually wishes that more baseball was played in Arizona long term. I will say this, not in August, but I love spring training weather right now. So what about you? Are you a big spring training guy?
I do. I've never been out there yet. Unfortunately, I can't get out there this year, but I'm kind of planning on next year being my first spring training. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I love the random, like the whole first week of like, all right, who the heck is this guy? Like, I cover the team for a living, and I still have no idea who like half these people who are playing are. It's kind of great.
I love it, man. Hey, speaking of people that you don't know about, have you ever heard of this guy? His name is Corey Kluber. You ever heard of him?
No, it doesn't sound familiar at all.
Okay, yeah, no, I figured not. Hey, Corey Kluber, man, I'm looking at this rotation. We're talking about the Rangers here, division preview for Locked On Angels here. Looking at the Rangers rotation, you got Corey Kluber, Mike Minor, Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson, Jordan Lyles. I really like this rotation, man. What about you?
I honestly love it. I remember when literally like the first couple of signings that they had, when it was just Gibson and Lyles, we literally like titled our episodes like Big Whoop. Like, it's just like so underwhelming. Like, this is what you do with your offseason? Like, I mean, they're fine if you want them to be 4 or 5. We thought they were like 3 or 4, but then they pulled this Kluber trade out of nowhere, and I still, like, months later, I still don't understand what the logic was besides Cleveland's just super cheap. Like, there's not really any other logic to it. And like, I know that he missed all of last season and there were still some concerns before he went down with the injury, but he's still a 2-time Cy Young Award winner. Like, he's still that. He's not like ancient. He's going to be 34 this year, and he just won a Cy Young back in 2017. So it's not like it's been forever since he's been amazing. Like, he's still a really, really good pitcher. So I'm kind of excited for this rotation.
Now, you mentioned that when the Rangers signed Kyle Gibson, you said Jordan Lyles there, that you said Big Whoop. Man, I am a huge, huge Kyle Gibson believer. I think that he's a difference maker of this rotation. These are 5 really good guys. There's no denying the talent of all 5 of these guys. But I look at Kyle Gibson and I say, you know what, man, that's my guy in this Rangers rotation. Now, we look at the Angels, we look at the Mariners, we look at the Astros, maybe a little less the Astros, we look at the Oakland A's. Every single team in the AL West has a question about the rotation, except for the Rangers. Is that a potential difference maker to where the Rangers may kind of sneak up on these other teams? Maybe not the Mariners. I think it's very well known the Mariners are going to probably likely finish dead last in the division, but could the Rangers with this rotation sneak up on Oakland, Anaheim, and Houston here?
Maybe. I don't want to say yes. It's kind of insane to think about because the Rangers have never been a strong pitching team. They've always been just a club that just hit, even when like in 2011, like when they went to the World Series, and that was probably their best team that they've ever had. Like, the rotation was still kind of questionable. Like, the best rotation that the Rangers have had was back in those 15, 16 years when they had Yu Darvish in his heyday and Cole Hamels as well in the 1-2, and they still ended up losing in the divisional round to Toronto those series. So, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I wish they had a stronger batting order. Like, I'm still waiting on the Nolan Arenado trade. I feel like there's nothing that they shouldn't include. There's no Joe Adele in their system that you're like, okay, maybe don't give him up for a Nolan Arenado. But there's no one in there that is of nearly close to that caliber. Maybe in all of minor league baseball. But still, I feel like they're like one big bat away from me feeling like, all right, this is a legitimate, like, go for a wild card. Maybe if something funky happens with the Astros, then you can think about a division race. But, like, I don't know. Not quite there yet on those being a playoff team.
And I want to touch on the offense in our second segment. There is one thing I want to touch on here, and I'm looking at this bullpen. You got Jose Leclerc, Jesse Chavez, some young arms, Brett Martin, Johan Mendez. Can the bullpen kind of continue to carry this team? I love the rotation, but I'm not totally in love with this bullpen yet. Maybe I'm missing something here, but I just don't see it with this bullpen necessarily.
No, I'm right there with you. And I think FanGraphs early on had Rangers ranked in like the top five bullpens in baseball. And I was like, wait, what? Why? I mean, like, Jose Leclerc, like, they always, like, advanced numbers love Jose Leclerc. And I was a guy who watched him. He was in Double A Frisco for a long, long time trying to be a starter. And I watched him walk so many people. And I didn't see it because I kept on saying it was a starter. But he's got an electric fastball. I think he's going to take a step forward this year and not try and be too perfect, which has been his issue. Maybe the Cody Allen signing works out. That was kind of a under-the-radar deal. Like, maybe that works out. Edison Volquez was supposed to retire after last year, and then he kind of joked about, like, okay, like, he just had one little stint where instead of working on coming back as a starter, came back as a reliever, touched high 90s, and he's like, okay, maybe I can do this. And then he has another kid in the offseason. He kind of joked with the beach at spring training. He's like, yeah, I kind of need a little bit more money because I got this extra kid that I got to take care of. So maybe he makes camp. But, yeah, like you said, I don't think there's a lot of – there's a few guys on the horizon. DeMarcus Evans, I think, might make camp. At the big league camp, he's just about ready. He's got a really hard fastball and good breaking stuff, and he's 6'7", and he's Mississippi mean, as we call him. But, yeah, he's got some great stuff. Other than that, like, it's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, Bolton's always erratic, but Jesse Chavez is about as close to perfect for, like, the second half of last year as they come.
Now, Bryce, we got to take a quick break. Would you mind staying on with us for the second segment?
Absolutely.
And you said you haven't been to spring training. Can I suggest something to you?
Do it.
Why don't you head to www.visitarizona.com/springtraining? What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that sounds pretty great.
Check it out. visitarizona.com/springtraining. It has all kinds of information on tickets, restaurants, hotels, all kinds of things when it comes to Arizona tourism. So we hope you check that out. www.visitarizona.com/springtraining. We'll be right back with more Locked On Angels right after a quick word from our sponsors.
Welcome back to Locked On Angels. I'm Jason J.D. Hernandez, just across Cotillo with Locked On Anaheim Ducks. And now here's your host, Taylor Blake Ward. Vámonos!
Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. It's great to have Bryce Patrick of Locked On Rangers on with us for our division preview. Now, Bryce, we touched on it a little bit there in the first segment, but you said that the offense is missing some. You said one piece. If I'm being honest with you, I think they're missing a few pieces here. I want to start with the infield. Now, Elvis Andrews, love him. Absolutely love him. Rougui Odor, Ronald Guzman, Todd Frazier. Third base was definitely a focus point for John Daniels and the rest of the staff this offseason. They looked at Anthony Rendon. It seemed like they looked at Josh Donaldson. They looked to try and get Chris Bryant. Maybe they're still looking to get Nolan Arenado. Is it just looking at a corner of first base, third base, trying to figure this out? Because, I mean, you know, I got nothing against Rougui Odor. Maybe you can upgrade to second. Elvis Andrews, you keep him there. You got to. But these corner infield spots, it seems like, is a real issue.
Yeah, I like the Todd Frazier signing as kind of a platoon split with Guzman, because Uzi cannot hit lefties, but he's so incredible defensively. Like, he makes a lot of his value there, and making the other infield defenders, no matter who you got out there, look a lot better. But yeah, like, that's why I was saying, like, the Nolan Arenado trade, like, they need, like, a big righty bat. Like, Frazier's fine. He's not, like, the middle of your order kind of fix your lineup guy, but he's a good secondary piece to have that'll mash lefties. He didn't do so great against righties last year. But getting a guy like Arenado would, I mean, obviously helps any lineup. But with Joey Gallo on the MVP pace that he was on last year before he got hurt, I think sticking him in right field should definitely help out this order. And full-time at-bats for Willie Calhoun out in left field. I really like Willie Calhoun, and I really like them giving him a full-time position and letting him just go out there and just mash, which is definitely what he does best. But, yeah, I don't know if Danny Santana is going to continue the season that he had last year. It felt like since they didn't go out and get a true center fielder, that, like, center field was going to be his natural position. But it's looking like they might give Nick Solak a chance to go out in center field there, which, okay, I guess that's fine. I mean, he mashes and he's another righty bat, so I guess you want to go try and do that. But Odor had a really abysmal first half of the season last year, and the second half was about average. So he needs a fire lit under him, and I thought that maybe giving Nick Solak some reps at second base at a camp might light a fire under Odor, kind of like when Odor was at his best, when he was trying to secure that second base job when Jurickson Profar was still there and still had that number one overall prospect era about him. But yeah, now that I say it out loud, definitely two or three bats short.
And I didn't mean to put, I don't, you know, I'm not trying to question you. You and I are buddies, but, you know, I'm just looking at this. And you did mention Joey Gallo on MVP caliber pace last year. I don't think a lot of people remembered that Mike Trout, best player in baseball, you know, go on from that wherever you want to go. But Joey Gallo had roughly the same war as Mike Trout going near the All-Star game. I know he went down with an injury, missed some time, but there was a period of time where Joey Gallo was the biggest threat against Mike Trout in the American League MVP race. Is moving him out of center field, I'm not so sure about. I did not like the Nomar Mazara trade for the Rangers at all. But is Joey Gallo, I'm still looking at a 40% strikeout rate, and that really worries me. I know this guy is a really special player, but 38.4 strikeout rate, is this a guy that still has, I'm not going to say MVP caliber talent, but superior all-star talent? And is he a guy that could carry this team?
I think he's a guy who's got MVP caliber talent. Like, I think the moving him out of center field, I think that's more to injury prevention, I think, is part of it. I think he might be on this roster. He's probably the best defensive center fielder that they've got, outside of maybe Scott Heinemann. But still, he's got that cannon for the right arm. And, you know, you bring up the strikeout rate, and, like, yeah, that's not great, but, like, an out's still an out, and he's still getting on base at a super high clip. And when he does make contact with his A swing, it's going a mile. He was on, like, 60 home run pace last season as a center fielder and above average defensive center fielder. So, yeah, I like moving him to right field. I like just giving him a position, letting him stay there. I'm a little worried about that artificial turf and stuff in the new stadium. Definitely don't want him running around center field, getting hurt, getting some twisted ankle for being out for a few weeks. But yeah, this stupid handmade boat. I'm owned and complained about the existence of a handmade bone for so much of last season, because that's the main injury that Gallo sustained. He broke his handmade bone, so he had to have that removed, and I think that was like 6 to 8 weeks, and then he had some other ab issues. It was just one thing after another last season. So yeah, he was on MVP pace. Like, I think he would have finished definitely top five in voting if he sustained what he did the first half and the second half. But injuries cut that short, so it made life a lot less fun, I should say, for Rangers fans watching the second half.
I could imagine, man. And Joey Gallo is such an exciting player. There are two guys on this Rangers offense, and I know we're running a little bit short on time, but I'm looking at Willie Calhoun, you already brought him up, and Shin-Soo Choo, underrated hitters, man. I mean, I liked Willie Calhoun when he was in the Dodgers system, thought he could hit, but Shin-Soo Choo, no one talks about him the way that they should. He's such a good hitter. I love these two guys. I mean, we talk about how the Rangers are missing some pieces, but they've got some really, under the radar pieces in left field and DH right there.
They really do. And Willie's worked a whole lot on his defense. Like, that was always a question because he came up as a second baseman, and then they kind of put him in the outfield. And they're like, all right, I guess, I was listening to this minor league Rangers podcast, and they said the best thing that Willie can do defensively is hit really well. And that's kind of true, but he's gotten to where he's like just below average defensively, and like he's worked really, really hard to do that. And Shin Soo Choo, the reason nobody talks about him is because all they think about is his contract, and I think that's a disservice to him. He's a veteran presence in this clubhouse where there's not that many veterans on the position player side. It's literally just basically him and Elvis Andrus of the ones who are 30 and older. Other than that, everyone else is pretty much gone. Now they got Chirinos back, but still, of the guys who actually play and make an impact. But yeah, Shin Soo Choo has had some really good seasons the last couple of years. I think it was not 2018 or 19, but it was 18 that he had a 56 game, I want to say, on base streak, where he had an on base of like 450 for like basically the better part of 2 months. And he's been hitting for power. And he's just a really good guy in the clubhouse. Like, of all the guys in the Rangers, like, he's the most, like, low-key, sneaky funny. But he won't do it in a big, boisterous way. He just kind of, like, under his breath, like, say something kind of funny. You're like, if you're not paying attention, then you won't catch it. But, yeah, he's a really good guy for this team. And I think he gets overlooked a whole lot because of his contract.
Run a little short on time. There are just a few little things here. Pecota has the Rangers at 73 wins. Real quick. The over-under for the Rangers' win total in 2020, I'm going to upgrade it. I'm going to say 74.5, the over-under there. And who are going to be the top three teams in the American League West this year?
Okay. I'm going to go just over. I think it's going to be under 80, like 80 or under wins, but between 75 to 80 wins for this Rangers team. They're not quite there yet. I think they get a good start. It falter a little bit down the stretch, but hopefully not like a cratering like they did last year, because that was a rough second half for Rangers fans. But the top three teams, I'm going to go for a little bit of a shocker. I think the Oakland A's are going to win the AL West. I think there's going to be some turmoil with the Astros. I think losing Garrett Cole is a big deal, and I don't know how long Justin Verlander is going to continue to be his elite level. I mean, it's hard to, like, see a drop-off for him who's been so good lately as an older guy. But still, Father Time comes for everybody. Father Time came for Adrian Beltre, so Father Time will come for Verlander. I think the Astros finished second, and I think the Angels finished third. I'm really excited to see what the Angels lineup can do. And defensively, the left side of the infield, like, just don't even hit it on the ground to the left side of the infield against the Angels. Just hit it in the air because you've got no chance with Anderson Simmons and Anthony Rendon out there. So, yeah, I think the Angels have a really good season, but the Rangers still have a little bit more time until they get there.
I love it, man. And now just one last one. You've got all kinds of major sports teams in Dallas area. How many teams – I'm going to switch this up. Will there be more teams in the American League West that make the playoffs in 2020 – or will there be more Dallas-based teams that make the playoffs in 2020? And this is across all sports.
Huh, interesting. I was going to ask you, is the cutoff, the Cowboys season, but I don't know. I don't want to bet on the Cowboys making the playoffs. The Stars are definitely going to make the playoffs. Like, that's just assured at this point. The Mavericks, I'm very sure they're in the seventh seed right now, but they just had a big win over the Spurs last night, and I don't see them falling off, especially if Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis are healthy. So I feel good about two. Are we counting MLS? Are we counting FC Dallas?
Yeah, that's 2020 season.
Yeah, they've got a really young team, so I was just reading up on them. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say that I say FC Dallas makes the playoffs. I say the Cowboys don't. But so we got Stars, Mavericks, and FC Dallas. No Rangers. I don't think they get there yet. But I think the AL West has two teams. I think the Astros make one of the wild card spots. I think the Angels be close. I think they'll be real close. Gosh, I forgot about the Red Sox trading Mookie Betts and how much that devastates them. You know what? Can I go tie?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, I say 3-3. You know what? Heck with it. I say the Angels get the second wild card.
Wow. I'm stunned, man. But Bryce, thank you so much for coming on, man. Where can our listeners listen to your show and find you online?
So you can find me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick, BRICEPATERIK. And you can also find our show with Morgan Price and I at Locked On Rangers, wherever you get your podcast.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Once again, that's Bryce Patrick of Locked On Rangers. You can follow him on Twitter at Bryce Patrick, like he said, BRICEPATERIK. So we have for today's show. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to download today's show or subscribe to Locked On Angels, you can do so via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcasting platform you're using to listen to today's show. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, a reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com. Get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. I won't be here tomorrow, but Paul Francis Sullivan will. We call him Sully, so you'll be in the hands of Sully for Locked On Angels tomorrow. It was a pleasure bringing today's show to you, and as always, thanks for tuning in. For Locked On Angels, I'm Taylor Blake Ward, reminding you to dot your I's, cross your T's, and stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you tomorrow.